Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Brian Butler. We'll watch a video about Echo Community and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Brian Butler. He is from Echo Community. He's executive director, and they have an outreach by giving retreats and talks to teens and young adults. This will be the first of two shows we do with Brian. We're now going to a video about Echo Community.
You and I were made for more than anything this world can offer. You were made for freedom, for truth, and for love. You were made to be known and to enjoy deep, authentic relationships. But now more than ever, people are struggling to find connections that are deep and meaningful. They feel lost and lonely. They're drifting in a sea of shallow experiences, fractured presence, and empty interactions. But it doesn't have to be this way. What if you could experience true freedom and lasting joy while building lifelong relationships of authentic love? Echo Community exists to help men and women embrace our identity as children of God and discover how to become the men and women that God made us to be. By looking through the lens of St. John Paul II's theology of the body, we share the gift of our sexuality and the call to love and the heart of the gospel in a fresh light. And this light is changing lives, thousands of lives. People are finding freedom from dead-end relationships, habitual sins, and paralyzing fears. They learn how to pray. They find security that's born not from the latest gadget or a passing encounter, but from deep, lasting relationship with the one who made us for himself. At Echo Community, we create opportunities for you to experience and live out these teachings. We help people from all walks of life adventure together and make lasting friendships. And we do this through life-changing retreats, ongoing young adult outreach, and missionary opportunities. Wherever you find yourself on your journey, Echo Community has a place for you. I invite you to join us and experience the freedom that God made you to have from the very beginning. To tell you more about our retreats is Adam Fuselet.
Sometimes it's important to step away from your normal day-to-day routine so that you can fully immerse yourself in a beautiful experience. That's what happens here at Echo Retreats. We offer deep and life-changing encounters where men and women discover the truth of their identities. With Christ at the center, participants journey together into the heart, revealing beautiful and challenging things. We say at Echo, come as you are. Come with your questions, your baggage, your hopes and dreams, and your sorrows. Echo is a chance to be honest, to be known, and to start anew in a part of the church that is fully alive.
So every time I encounter a young person who's experienced Echo or been a part of Echo, like gone to a retreat, I always see long-standing effects. The community continues, the teachings, you know, there's a thirst there, like you plant a seed, but then it grows.
Our retreats are not just an intellectual exercise, but a communal experience where we journey together and discover the distant echo of God's plan for life and love. Dynamic talks, outdoor activities, life-giving discussions, and artistic expression create a vibrant atmosphere. Then we anchor everything in daily prayer, Mass, and Eucharistic adoration, where we celebrate God's love together in a life-changing experience like no other. So join us on an Echo Retreat and discover a new level of freedom to be the gift that God has called you to be.
Brian Butler, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you so much, Father Mark. Great
welcome
to be here.
Welcome back, right? It's 2007,
It's I think. Been a while.
So you were 2 years into some ministry back then, and now you've brought it to new levels in the Echo Community. Tell us about that. What inspired you to start Echo Community?
Many things. I think one of the keys was I was doing a study abroad program in Costa Rica when I was in college, and had this experience of going away for the weekend out on the beach, thinking we were going to the beach. Turned out to be a very drug infested, really difficult town. And there was a girl on the trip, you know, I'll call her Jenny, and she was looking for love in all the wrong places. And eventually she says she's going to go back out at 1 a.m. to go hang out with some guys that I knew weren't getting ready to take her to church in the morning. And I didn't know what to say to her, and I just kind of said, you know, Jenny, don't do this. And she's like, I'm a big girl, I'll be fine, you know. And she came back a few hours later just absolutely devastated from looking for love and coming back with its opposite, you know. That there was some level of use there, whether it was consensual or not, I don't know. I didn't ask her to relive that, but what I did as she was crying, I remember putting my arm around her and being angry to be a man that night. I remember like having a fist like in the dark, like because I did not want to be a part of anything that would hurt a woman. And I just didn't know what to say to her. And I said, Jenny, Jesus loves you and there's a better way. But I didn't even know really what that better way was. And I knew I wanted to find it, and I wanted to then offer that to other people. And a lot of things happened between then and now, but that was part of the impetus.
Yeah. Well, let's jump right to theology of the body. We had you on before. You developed materials to teach young people about that. And certainly, it's John Paul II's answer, drawing from church tradition, scripture, to the sexual revolution, but really deeper, I guess, to the beauty of love, of life-giving love in marriage, right? Tell us about some of those principles that illustrate a better way.
Yeah, I think we all in the Western world, we do have a certain infestation of certain roots that are heretical, from the Gnostic sort of heresies in the early centuries all the way up through Puritanism, that there's a certain level of suspicion about the gift of the body or the goodness of the body. I have some of that in my own life. And John Paul II hit that square in the face and said, you know, the body is good and it is holy and it actually reveals both God and the person. And so you need to really take care as to what you do with that body and recognize that there is a female body that reveals a female person and a male body that reveals a male person. And these are two unique, distinct gifts of humanity. And they're equal, but they're different. And we need to learn how to grow an authentic love of being able to pursue one another and reverence one another in a way that is not degrading and is not utilitarian, but is really honoring and reverencing. And so he gave over about 130 talks on that from 1979 to 1984. And we're still seeing a slow movement in the church that's picking up speed to make that more accessible to the modern person.
Yeah, and I guess the reason it gets so much traction is it's like it's showing us, telling us who we are. And everybody, I think we all get excited. Like if you tell me what the priesthood is about, if there's something about it exciting and it's what you're called to do, your vocation, your mission in life. And he's saying, the body is revealing that, revelatory of like the law of the gift. Maybe talk about that.
Yeah, G.K. Chesterton, I think, once said, it's the perennial psychological and spiritual task of man to look at things familiar until they become unfamiliar again. And the first time I heard that quote, I thought about the body, right? Yeah. I'm very familiar with it. I've been in this body my whole life. But what does it mean to be an embodied person as a male? And what does being a man mean? And so John Paul II set out to teach us a right anthropology, a right understanding of who we are, before we then understand what we ought to do. And I think sometimes that's a mistake we make in the faith, is we tell everybody what they ought to do. But I don't even know who I am. And that can cause us difficulty, because that being precedes my activity. And in fact, in the theology of the body, when John Paul uses the word sex, the majority of the time he's talking almost exclusively about identity, about who I am as a man or a woman, not about an activity.
And it's it seems like there's the elephant in the room of like the trans community today, right? That it's like, you know, this questioning of our identity, who we are, and I feel like so often it's like if our body reveals who we are, that's what we look to, right? To see our identity, who we are. And obviously, you know, that acceptance and living out that reality can be so distorted and injured in whatever way, and we need to help people to live out of that fundamental reality, but we can't change it, right? That's given to us.
We can't change our fundamental reality, but our own perceptions are often misguided. Whether it was from trauma in our lives or from hearing a particular IV drip of a specific lie for a long time in my life that's caused me to think in a certain way. But we're not self-referential. We can't figure it out on our own. We actually have to turn to the one who created us and say, Lord, who do you say that I am? Yeah. And I think John Paul II did that by anchoring us back to the very beginning of what was life meant to be when there was no sin, there was no confusion, there were no lies, there was no use, there was no manipulation, no addiction, no infidelity. What was God's plan like at the very beginning? And he gave the first 23 talks about that. You know, Genesis 1 and 2 is like 3 pages long. But he said, no, there's a lot here that you need to unpack, and that will help you to be able to understand the truth of who you are today.
Yeah, he's using that, I think he even called it like mythic language, not in the sense that it was a false, but it just has a style of writing. But there's deep truths here that, you know, sometimes people just want to dismiss it as silly origin stories. But no, if you look at talking about original creation, original harmony, a fall, you know, a promised restoration, I mean, those are, that's everything, right? And so those are beautiful things to unpack. And you call your organization Echo Community. Where does that come from, that name?
It actually comes from the 19th address of John Paul's teaching, where he says we have a distant echo in our hearts of original innocence. And then he defines original innocence as that radical purity of heart that man and woman had at the very beginning, when there was a harmony between God and man, a harmony between man and woman, a harmony within between man and creation, and then there was a harmony within man and a harmony within woman, that our bodies and souls were together and united. And that's no longer the case on this side of the fall, where we struggle to do what is good, and there's a war within my mind and my heart and my body. And St. Paul says, I do the things that I do not want to do. I always tease people and like, how many of you have gone to confession for the same thing you went for last time? Like, I know that it maybe it's not good, but I still keep on going that direction. And at the beginning, it was not so. And Jesus was the one who told us that. And John Paul wants to link us to that original beautiful vision at the beginning. And so Echo Community is, we have fallen in many ways and we've been hurt in many ways in and through relationships with men and women, but an authentic community that's anchored in the truth of who God made us to be at the beginning, if we put Christ in the center, then he can actually redeem us, not only from creator to creation, but in and through our relationships, that the things that once broke you and I from other people can actually be restored in and through an authentic relationship.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Brian Butler in just a moment. Welcome back. Brian, I want to ask you too about this vision that John Paul presents of a fair love, or a fairer love. How does he say that phrase? But from scripture, I think Song of Songs, this fair love that we, that's within our grasp with the grace of Christ, the healing of the sacraments, right? That, give us that vision of marriage. Because you're seriously married.
I'm 26 years in.
26 years, four kids.
And it's a great gift, but we know that it's also a great trial. Marriage is a great trial, and there are crosses in that. And so, I think that we can paint things maybe incorrectly one way or the other. It's all beautiful, and there's no cross, or it's all cross, and there's nothing good here. You should run from it. And neither one of those is the gospel, right? There is cross and resurrection that are tied up in the sacrament of matrimony. There's been beautifully crucifying moments where the Lord has brought me to be more the man that I'm called to be, and then through relationship with Lisa and vice versa. And he's redeeming us daily. And yet there are a lot of misconceptions and a lot of bad examples that we have experienced in our lives of what marriage is. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important that we have good examples mm-hmm. of marriage, not just theoretically to tell me what marriage is about. It's mm-hmm. important to read the catechism and to see that. It's also important to experience a good marriage and to see a man and a woman loving one another and to think that's possible for me and to restore hope in my own heart. And I think John Paul II said, you know, when he was a young man, he fell in love with the beauty of human love. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to share that with young people. And so that became a big part of our ministry, is trying to take that same idea and to have conversations yeah. of eternal significance with young people. They can go deeper than you think they can. Mm-hmm. And they'll often bring up some of those wounds and difficulties from their own family lives.
Yeah.
And then we present that in before the heart of Christ and let him speak the truth into those places to set a lot of them free so that they can again be on that track for whatever the vocation is that God has for them.
Yeah. And he would write that it's written in the very body that this law of the gift that we're to give ourselves to the other, the male is made for the female and vice versa. And there's this giving that is fruitful. And he himself, right, he never tired of saying that we discover ourselves through a sincere giving of ourselves. And that marriage is like, that makes that happen, right? One way or the other, you know, you're going to stay together, you're going to be giving.
He repeated that maybe yeah. more than anything else in his whole pontificate, yeah. you know, from yeah. the Second Vatican Council, which yeah. he probably had a hand in writing that phrase in Gaudium et Spes, but yeah. exactly that. And it's easy, again, to talk about that, mm-hmm. but the practicality of how do I make a gift to myself yeah. in this moment when it's hard and I'm tired and I'm sick yeah. and I'm distracted and I'm right. full of stress. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the sanctifying moment of all of our lives. And so the law of the gift mm-hmm. is exactly that I cannot actually fulfill myself except through this gift of myself. And John Paul taught us about the spousal meaning of our bodies, that we all have that, whether or not we're actually married. You're not married. Mm-hmm. And yet you're called to make a gift mm-hmm. of yourself in and through your masculinity according to your state and according to the season that you're in. And mm-hmm. I actually was doing that in the early years with our ministry and had an inspiration to do a week-long retreat for teens and young adults on the theology of the body mm-hmm. and to host it at this particular retreat center. I set up a meeting with Archbishop Amon, who had just become Archbishop in New Orleans, and I'm going to ask him for permission to do this. And before I can get out the question, he doesn't know what the meeting's about. He says, yeah. Brian, I've been thinking, what if you were to have like a week-long theology of the body retreat for teens and young adults?
Yeah.
He said the exact words of what yeah. it was that I was about to ask him, and it wow. was a real beautiful moment of recognizing that the Holy Spirit was inviting us to create something that was going to be a space of hope and healing and freedom where men and women could wrestle with those deep questions and actually make progress in learning how to make a gift of themselves.
Yeah. And part of your mission statement is, as well, is that to cultivate authentic masculinity and femininity. Tell us about that.
It seems like a difficult task to talk, well, what is authentic masculinity? We were talking earlier, right, about the fact that it's not a copy and paste scenario of everybody has to just do exactly what Father Mark does or do yeah. what Brian does. Like, we are unique men and unique women created with unique gifts and talents and even unique weaknesses. And so how do I own the gift of my own masculinity? The Second Vatican Council says, well, I have to learn it from Christ. I have to see who he is, and mm-hmm. he will reveal me to myself. Mm-hmm. And that is a beautiful gift that's affirming. And so in Love and Responsibility, John Paul II said that the essence of chastity consists in the quickness to affirm the value of the person in every situation. Mm. If you were to ask 1,000 Catholics right now what John Paul II or what's a yeah. good definition of chastity, most of them would not say anything close to that.
Right.
That it's an affirmation of that which is good and true and beautiful, mm. not just about everyone, but about me specifically. Mm. And when I own the gift and that goodness of who God made me to be, then I can start to trust him and his plan and then start to make the hard choices to love even when it demands the cross. And that is a beautiful thing that starts with the gift of who God made me to be and doesn't start with the moral obligation. And mm-hmm. I think that's a paradigm that John Paul II used that's been helpful for us, of like that movement of looking into my personal experience and letting that take me into the objective reality of who God made me to be.
Right. Yeah, not to use the other person, not to make an object of them, to see them as a person. You know, I've heard many men say that when they grow in their chastity and grow in their relationship with the Lord, that they they see the whole lovemaking aspect of their marriage in a deeper way, more beautiful, more fulfilling. And I think that's wonderful. Let's talk about some of the concrete projects you all have going on with the Echo community. What's the number one thing you do?
Our retreats have been what we've been doing since 2009, when I had that meeting with Archbishop Amon. We started to do our Echo retreats in Louisiana and then around the world. And we do them more for young adults than anybody else, but we do have them now for engaged couples, for married couples. We have them for teenagers in the summer. And it's a rich exploration of the gift of that integration, not just intellectual knowledge and not just a doing things, but seeing those come together. And I'm wearing a little wristband right now that says, love people and use things. Right. And you can get those at our website. But that idea is something that we, instead of it having an intellectual idea about it, we give people an experience of what does that look like to love people and use things and let go of my device. It's right. Okay, you won't die.
Right, right.
And actually being able to spend time in authentic relationship of loving one another instead of using each other and loving our things. And so our Echo retreats have been our biggest, most powerful outreach, and we do that along with some other formation programs, like our New Horizon Leadership Formation Program, which is cultivating young leaders in the church and then empowering them to go back out and make a difference in their communities. And
it, tell us more about that. What does that look like? So you're sending men to, or men and women in the parish, their own parish, right?
Yeah, it's a two-year program where people come in and they say, I want to learn and I want to grow an authentic relationship with a small group of people for a year. And then I'm going to, in the second year, go back into my community and make a gift of myself and plug into my parish or plug into the area, because the people that need to do the evangelizing most is not, you know, from a TV show, right?
Right, right.
It's
right.
It's in your college, it's in your workplace, it's the people that you're next to. Can you actually love them and speak the truth to them and invite them closer to the Lord? Yeah. But that takes a process of growing in knowledge of the faith and then in courage to actually step out like that when the Holy Spirit inspires us to. So
they're being formed themselves, a year-long small group, and then they're being sent to the parish.
Then they're being sent back in and then mentored along the way. We were talking about that earlier, about how important it is to have mentoring and not just kind of like, here's the rule book and here's what you're supposed to do, but actually pouring in time and so that they know that they are loved. They're not a number. Mm-hmm. They're a unique man or a unique woman and can listen to God and go where He's inviting them to go, not just kind of build a specific project, but actually follow Christ as a disciple and then let Him show you what's the way to use your gifts in the church.
All right. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to do a second show with you and one of your coworkers. So thanks for being on Life on the Rock.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Father.
I enjoyed my conversation with Brian. He's been at this a long time now, and I think he's really refine the message, and it's a powerful message. As we said, you know, I think it's an answer to the whole sexual revolution, is John Paul II's answer, drawing from the gospel, from church fathers. What does the church have to say about love and marriage? What does it say about the beauty of human love? And this speaks to us, right? Because in our very natures, we crave marriage and family. We crave to be in communion with another like that, to know and to be known, to love and to be loved. These are great themes about our mission, the fullness of life, how we are to get there by a sincere giving of ourselves. So Brian's out there doing great work. And you know, before the show, we discussed about, you know, it's just not a numbers game. You can look at the landscape of the culture and you can see so many people are struggling. And we have a lot of initiatives and things. And sometimes you can be discouraged by small numbers, but just think of it as one person at a time that you're bringing to the Lord Jesus, that you're sharing this good news, this gospel message. It makes it all worthwhile. Mother Angelica would say that about this whole network. If it just saved one soul, it'd be worth it. So let me send you into that vineyard with a blessing with these thoughts in mind. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He fill your hearts with His Holy Spirit to strengthen and guide you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Smiling in your face to your pupils are dying. I'm scared at every angle for fear they might make it blind date certified. Solos de la Rocha for the person I wanna strive to become by a certain time. The bright circle and hovering lights above you, around you and in you are the proof that he loves you. Life's not a blindfold race that you run by. Time to open up and catch the rays of the sunshine. I leave the light on for the ships to harbor sailing in. Weather for the champions of many still to fail to win. Soul glow city with the love that burns bright. Hold tight, you just look for the light. Look for the light.
Brilliant rays for the world to see. Hands and feet of his divine mercy. Shine your light where the darkness be. And it is time for invasion, time for invasion.
We're coming in now, the night running. Got plans to